For Mercedes-Benz Brisbane's 13% off for 13 days only. Conditions apply. See mbbrisbane.com.au.
Taking time out of his Asian trip to speak to us, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. Good morning, PM.
Marto and Robin, hello.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Now, PM, you've been in Manila for the East Asian Summit. You were really sweating up a storm last night on the news.
Well, yes, I was perspiring, Ed. I'm human and I perspire. Plus, Shinzo Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, and I got on the sakes. Then we moved on to the Nikka whiskey, and I got properly munted. We had a terrific time. His impersonation of a kamikaze pilot is hilarious and frightening. He puts the tea towel around the head. So, yes, that's why I was sweating up like a champion. It's been a lot of fun taking selfies with Xi Jinping and the whole crew.
Look, one of the pressing issues at the moment, despite what you're doing in East Asia, is the crisis on Manus Island. Has that been discussed?
Yes, Robin, it has. Donald Trump and I have both shown a willingness to end the crisis, but I want to scotch a rumour that's been going around, that's been started by some puerile people. It's emanated from a dinner in Point Papa. Lucy and I have never, for our own amusement, referred to Manus Island as Anus Island. It's wrong. It's puerile. If anyone I know says Anus Island, I'll be coming down hard on them.
Okay.
Is that clear?
No. That sounds clear. Thank you, Prime Minister.
Now, sir, another angle. Do the results of the same-sex plebiscite come out tomorrow? What can we expect?
Well, Marto, I hope the inevitable yes vote is greeted with great warmth and celebration. And there are spontaneous demonstrations of love and sex, your expression. I mean, have a party, get naked, play nude twister. I've always enjoyed that. Cover yourself in virgin olive oil, get on the mat and have a great time. It's terrific. Terrific fun, nude twister. If you've never played, I remember once at university, I had both feet on red and green and had to twist my right arm over to yellow. I ended up teabagging my best friend. So.
Wow, what a wonderful idea. And on that note, Prime Minister, we'll say thank you so much for your time.
I just want to say the Triple M rocks the Ashes.
Okay, I love Men's Health magazine. I know it comes for you, Marto, but I often steal it because I learn stuff.
Why don't I ever see it?
Yeah, because I grab it. Anyway.
Yeah, it takes too long.
Let me throw some statistics back at you, and these are good because it's going to help you blokes as well, right? Muscles women find most attractive. Men's Health have done a survey and they have come back with the muscles that women like the best. Mm. I'll throw some of them at you and I want you to come up with the top three. Is it large biceps? Is it hard calves? Is it big shoulders? Broad back? High backside?
Trish, hold on. Broad back.
Six pack.
High backside.
Powerful forearms.
Oh, what?
Which forearms do you think is going to be? If you
I reckon women would have said, I don't know.
I forget it's
the guts.
The guns.
Oh, the guns.
Biceps.
They said the guts. I'm like, what?
Biceps. And I think they do like a high bum.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the from 8 to 1, okay? At number 8, large biceps.
Last.
Yeah.
Ah.
At number 7.
Hold on. Listen to this, everyone. So stop with the curls, yeah?
Yeah, okay. At number 7, a big chest.
Oh. Don't like the chest.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's annoying.
At number 6.
Yeah, what counts all us out.
Huge chests.
Hard calves.
No, Ed and I are in. We both got small calves.
Beautiful calves.
Yeah. Women don't like hard calves on themselves either because you can't wear boots. Anyway, that's number true. 5. Big shoulders. Don't like a big shoulder.
Matt Hayden's gone too. That ad.
Hannah Monty as well.
Number 4. A broad back.
Don't like a broad back.
But we are coming down, so
don't
we're getting
like
to the number 1.
They see a lot of those axemen. They
lumberjacks.
Out the echo. Boom.
So let's turn this round and say the top three things that
top three
women
muscles
find most attractive in a bloke. At number 3, a high backside.
That's ridiculous. They don't. They say that. They don't. This has been going on for years.
What does that
look
mean?
At his bottom. You're like, no, girls don't care about that. Unless his wallet's poking out and there's heaps of dough.
Can you get a phone that's shaped like a bum, a high bum implant?
No, of course you can. Mate, we could have a bum implant this afternoon if we wanted.
Well, you first. I'll see how it looks.
Number 2, powerful forearms.
Powerful forearms.
What?
We like to be hugged.
No, but you don't hug with your forearms.
Yeah, well, you like to be enveloped. It's that.
That's just
that.
Long ones.
Well, yep. But, you know, anyway. And the number one
powerful
thing.
Powerful forearms. Hold on. Let's think. Who has powerful forearms? Mechanics. It's long anyone who does shorts. A lot of that sort of stuff.
Warfies.
Painters.
Vin Diesel's got big forearms.
Mass oh. painters.
Yeah. Well, got, they would.
I love it. Wankers.
Say that. I said painters. Okay, the number
very strong
one forearms. Muscle.
You've been entertaining yourself for too long.
That women find attractive is
yes.
the six pack.
Sit ups. Sit ups.
No, diet.
That's bloody about diet.
I know, starve yourself and do
the
a couple
hardest
of ones.
Why are you gotta do that?
Yeah, that's right. That is the hardest thing
okay.
to get.
Okay, this was supposed to be a motivational thing to kind of give you some...
Depressing.
No, that's just depressed you.
No bread, no beer. Like yeah, good work.
We feel awful without ourselves.
Yeah. Everyone's driving God. To work now, trying to suck in their guts gun.
None of those things. Yeah.
I'd love to see you try and get a high backside.
Have to get a lift, have to get a crane. Hide for hire, do that.
A bum bra.
Bum bras.
Just float over the shoulder and pick them up.
Patent pending.
Okay, guys, so yesterday was my birthday, and thank you all so much because you started it off with such a bang, and I wasn't really expecting very much because next year is a big year for me. Sure. So at 49, I wasn't thinking that too much was going to unfold. But I have to say that my sons outdid themselves, but in a very unique way that is unique to them.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I brought in the cards, and I won't read everything, but I just thought I'd give you a little tip as to how they go.
Do they know that you're reading these cards out to the whole
group? Yeah, I did say that I was bringing them in. I'm not going to read all of the personal stuff, but just to give you a bit of a hint of how they were.
Okay.
So my eldest son, who's incredibly sensitive, 17 and a half, finishes school on Friday, heads off to schoolies. Part of his card says, here is a little something that I thought you might like because you seriously deserve the world. Happy birthday, Mum.
That's a nice one.
So he took his girlfriend into Peter Alexander and bought me the cutest pair of pyjamas.
Oh, my God.
But apparently gave them to her to walk out of the store with.
Oh, why?
I mean,
he didn't want to be seen.
Well, you know, I get that. But he actually nailed it. And for a bloke to buy clothes for any woman in his life, I think is super impressive.
Let's check out motivation here. That's a hell of a lot of beer you're going to have to smuggle into their schoolies
okay,
week
let's
hotel.
Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
I don't want to talk
well,
about
we
that.
We all know. Well, that was the elephant in the room.
He's done very well. So then there's my youngest son.
He was motivated. The other two have got nothing to earn.
Well, hang on. My youngest son, who's a bit of a comedian, his card reads, yes, Mum, I know what you're thinking. Who wrapped this masterpiece? And like I don't want to take all the credit, but yes, it was me. You may also be thinking if you still have tape in this house after this beauty was created, or thinking if you were actually going to get a real message from me and this was all a joke. I can say it's not. Mum, I love you, and you are one off being old. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Not bad. And then what was the gift that went with that?
He bought me a little speaker to go, because I do boxing under our house, and I always steal one of the boys' speakers so that I can do it to music.
Oh, you little Euro thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's my middle son, who is feisty to the end, and he and I, you know, sometimes clash. He's going to Mum. Happy birthday to the best mum in the world.
Oh, wow. And is that his writing or did they just on a card?
No. Oh. And for copying my copious amounts of beep. No. Lots of love, Lewin.
Wow.
Copious. He's going with copious.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Copious.
So I think they have done exceptionally well. And I got some de-stressing tea, which when I unwrapped it, he said, thought it was appropriate.
Mm. Well, that's a backhander.
Yeah.
He's having a go there.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Why?
He's saying you're stressed.
Mm. Yeah, because he stresses me a lot.
Oh, he's admitting it's him.
Yes, and he's saying, stress you, have this tea, and, you know, we'll all be right in the morning.
No, he's saying there's nothing wrong with him. It's all your fault.
Oh, is he?
No.
Is that what it
no,
is?
No, don't even
start.
Sorry, sorry.
And the other thing that happened was Sean, my partner, bought me clothes. And again, I take my hat off to any bloke who is courageous enough to buy the woman in their life clothes, including lingerie, and get it right. And
what
he
size,
did.
What, did he get the right size?
Yes. He bought the dress and the cardi that I'm wearing, which I've posted up on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. And he got absolutely the right
size.
What's
that new dress?
Yeah. I know. Impressive.
Oh, good.
Have you ever bought clothes for Kath or Tiff?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, no. Okay, right. I rest my case.
Not at the moment. No.
I remember I did buy lingerie once. It was
how'd
two sizes too small.
Did you walk into the store and say...
she's like you.
She's the same as you.
I'm just cleaning the windows, sir. I don't work here.
I saw an ad in the paper on the weekend, a whole page ad in the Sunday Mail. It's got to be more than $20,000. They've got one up. Let's just play what they've got up on their website, these
people. Anastasia's done nothing for 3 years.
She always looks after Brisbane and not after the regions.
Don't really know Tim Nicholls.
Not enough action.
Flick them.
They're not doing what they're supposed to, but I don't believe it.
Flick them. That's the concept here, and that's what they call themselves. No one knows who they are, but listen to this one here. They're all sitting around in their moccasins, sipping lattes in West End with their hairy armpitted, tree-hugging, dope-smoking, underemployed academic hangers-on, dreaming up ways to ban anything that's fun.
Holy. Wow.
They get into everyone. And then all it's got on the bottom is put the majors last. That's the biggest flick of.
Now, when we saw this in the paper, we all assumed that you'd place that ad, Marto, because that's how you talk, but not you, apparently.
Somebody else. Who is it? Who we got? Is it Michael Norris?
Yeah, Michael Norris on the line from Townsville, a spokesperson for the Flick'em political campaign. Morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
So why are you doing this, Michael? That's a lot of money to put behind a campaign to tell us not to vote for the big parties.
I'm doing it because I'm disillusioned with the major parties. Completely. In more ways than one. Power, water, roads.
Fuel.
Yeah, you name it. I think everyone in Queensland has something that they could argue about.
Right. So you're not running for Parliament. You just don't want the parties to control things.
Exactly right. And I've been asked a million times why I'm not running for Parliament, or am I running for Parliament? Not at all. Just a disillusioned voter.
You're not a One Nation type of guy. You're not doing this for Pauline or the Greens.
No, not at all.
So who are you, Michael, if that's not a rude question? Like, who is the guy that has that amount of money to put an ad in the paper?
I wish I had that amount of money. I used to be in the Defence Force and was medically discharged after my service in Somalia, and was talking to a friend who used to be in the Defence Force, and we, like all people, we have something to say about politics, and he told me about this group, and I said, how do I get involved? So he put me to a spokesperson, Laura, who got me involved, and I've been going from there.
Well, are you paying for these ads, or are you just putting your name to them as you've written here, a pissed-off Queenslander?
Yeah, I'm just putting my name to them, mate. I wish I had the cash.
Oh, righto.
And so, Michael, I guess what you're saying is you're trying to challenge the idea that we've all accepted that we have a two-party system in Australia.
Why do we need to do that, Ed?
With a couple of peripherals. But you're basically saying, well, hang on, what if that's not the case? What if there are individuals that go in with their own individual interests rather than the interests of donors and that type of thing which are behind the parties? Is that right?
That's exactly right. I think the more diversity we have in the Parliament, the better, particularly with upper house. Once one of either two groups get in, they just can do what they do unchallenged. And my hope was that if we get a few crossbenchers and independents in there, that hopefully we can get a more diverse way of thinking.
But, Robin, we were talking about this morning, you get a hung parliament then and nothing happens.
Like in 1998, where we were just, for years, were just stuck because everyone was fighting and no one actually had a majority to make decisions.
Yeah, I think the last time we were close to that was the federal parliament. And if you look at it historically, more got done then than in years before or since.
It does make the major parties have to go and reach out and make concessions and listen to people that have been voted in various different ways, Michael.
Yeah, that's my hope. And, if they have to negotiate with people, why not, just having all the power?
Flick'em, just one sec. With Flick'em, so you don't want the major powers, but is there one or two things that you do want?
Just diversity. That's all I want. Diversity within the parliament.
So who should we vote for, according to you, Michael?
It doesn't matter who you vote for as long as you put the majors last. That's all our message is.
Michael is right. If everybody did put the majors last, it would make life very, very interesting. So it wouldn't matter if you're a dual citizen. You're not getting in anyway. Michael Norris from Townsville, the spokesperson for Flick'em. You can find their website. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to me.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Time to talk all things tech with our good friend Trevor Long from EFTM.com.au because there's a big game changer in Australia. Trev, what are Telstra set to do with their data plans?
This is quite remarkable. I thought it was April Fool's Day when I saw this. Telstra are going to offer unlimited data on their internet plans, home internet plans. Mainly
what?
NBN, obviously, but you know, cable and ADSL as well. So if you're paying the big bucks, so if you're paying $100 or more, they're going to switch those to unlimited data.
Can I tell you, with three teenage sons, this is life-changing.
This is game-changing, yeah.
Well,
you Telstra, Rob?
Yes, I'm Telstra.
And they keep on going, we keep hitting our limit.
Yeah, me too.
And you have to say yes to paying more money. Of course you say yes. And so that's going to end.
That's right. And remember, we're talking about home internet here, not mobile, for people that are churning through their mobile data as well. That might come in the future. It happens in America, but I think we're way off that here. But the thing is, this is not many telcos doing this. There's some of the smaller competitive brands, Internode and companies like that, doing unlimited data. But for Telstra to come in this early in the market and offer unlimited kind of shakes things up, because there's something like 40,000 households a week switching over to the NBN, and that's why. Telstra can't afford to lose their market share. They have to be competitive, or those people will just go somewhere else.
Yep. That's absolutely true. But already, anyway, this isn't an ad, by the way.
We're just gobsmacked and excited.
Pretty incredible deal. Now, what's going on with the... is it planes are changing the way that they are... is it the seats? Is it the windows? There's a lot going on in planes as well.
Yeah, Emirates, one of the big carriers, announced a new layout for their 777 planes. Now, I don't know if you've ever flown first class. I certainly haven't. But on some of these planes, they have literally a little cabin, like a little mini room
room.
It's so nice.
Door to ceiling. But the problem is, if you jag the middle row, as in the middle section, you don't have windows. Your little room is literally a cocoon inside the plane. Now, I, for one, can't fly without a window. So Emirates have created a virtual window. So they've got cameras pointing out on the sides. And those cameras are then projected in through pretend windows. So you're sitting in the middle of the plane with walls either side of you.
Let's forget the first class people. What about if you're in economy and you're sitting in those middle rows? Is there any way you can see what's going on outside yet?
No, tough luck.
Well,
there's still 50,000 people around you.
Well, why is it true that Tiger Airways are putting in virtual seats where you don't actually get a seat, you just have to sort of crouch down and they'll project a seat behind you in order to stuff more people in?
I think they're getting a sunroof.
You know what, Ed, there was talk of a couple of airlines around the world, the low-cost carriers, you know, Tiger and Ryanair and that, looking at ways of having seats that kind of stood up so you kind of just leant back.
Like on a bus.
Because essentially they could fit, you know, one-third more people in.
That sort of makes sense.
That is the kind of crazy stuff they do.
When I flew Aeroflot back in the late 80s and they were all ex-military aircraft, if you weren't sitting on a seat when you were taking off, the seat would collapse.
In a school fight sort of thing.
So now they should bring that back because they could actually create more room.
Jeez. And what about the last one, Trev? Android devices, this parental controls. What's going on with this?
Yeah, good one for any parents that have got tablets or mobile phones with their kids that are Android. You can now install Google's Family Link on that. Now, Family Link is a way of you monitoring what your kids are doing, but most importantly, approving their apps. So if your kid, you know, we're talking 5, 6 to 10-year-olds, if they want to download a certain game, they hit download like they normally would, but the request comes to you as a parent. And so you get to say yes or no and have a chat to little Johnny about whether or not
But you could do that for older kids if they stumbled on a betting one or something too, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you can do that in Apple phones as well. People don't know that you've got family sharing. So if the kids have their own iTunes account, so my son Harry, little 6-year-old, when he wants to download a game, he just goes to the App Store, requests it, put in his password, and then I have to approve it. The other thing the Google stuff does is allows you to monitor their screen time, so you can limit the screen time and make the devices basically not work after a certain time at night. So their bedtime is locked into the internet.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Need.
All right, Trevor Long from EFTM.com.au with all of your latest tech news, including Telstra going to unlimited data for their home plans. We'll speak to you soon, Trev.
Cheers, guys.
So you're sitting at your local movie theatre, just near the food court there, all right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How often do you reckon this happens?
A curious toddler has managed to give his mum the slip, wriggling his way inside a skill tester amusement machine at a shopping centre.
Oh, that's your worst nightmare,
once
really.
Once a year, I reckon. The first time I've had a... Well, you still get a giggle because it's such a wonderful thing to see a kid trying to grab hold of some stuff when you're in there, mate. You're in.
Yeah, because, you know, you can imagine his little brain going, how do I get that? How do I get that? Oh, there's a door.
Here's his mum. Yeah, some mums panicked. His mum was so proud of her child. Oh, you clever kid.
He's very quick and he's a quick crawler, so he likes getting in cupboards and things at home.
How good.
Genius. Love it.
It's quite cute, the footage of him just sitting there like a toy.
Yeah, you know, like a toy. Like just
looking out, like, well, what are you going to do?
Now, they did say they got him out. Did they use the skill tester to grab hold of his skull?
I didn't think of that. But no, right.
Well, wouldn't you? Hold on, I'm good at this. Give me a go. Oh, I just slipped off his left
just
ear.
Just missed him. Yeah.
Hold on, give his mum one more because she's... Oh, no, is that it? I think that might be all we've got.
No, a bit of this.
I was talking to this gentleman and he was playing with the joysticks and he disappeared. So I thought he'd gone down between the two machines. I looked down the side and saw his head pop up in the machine. But he was happily playing. We were tapping on the glass and he was smiling and having a good old time.
What a cute mum.
It's very cute.
Very
proud.
Cute.
Proud mum.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just one of the many places that children can get stuck.
Oh, don't you love it? When they stick their head through things
no.
and they can't pull because their ears, you get through, you know, when you poke your head through something, you can't pull them out. They're the best. Where did your kid get stuck?
Hey, Rebecca, where was it?
Hi, it was actually me, I'll admit. I got stuck in one of those huge 15-litre paint buckets, those industrial white ones, when I was a little girl. No joke, ears to my knees and just, not a good thing, but panicky. You know, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours.
Rallied. Yeah, it was pretty scary. Oh. I was pretty like, oh my God. We nearly called the fire brigade, but luckily we had some Vaseline and some butter and strong hands, and it was like the big. And yeah, it was not Christmas.
Do you remember it as a little girl?
Vividly, yes.
How's your anxiety when you get into economy on airplanes?
You know what? That's valid, actually. I never thought about it. It's not my favourite. I don't like confined spaces at all. But I will say I'm very flexible.
Hey, all right, Rebecca. Down the line.
You're awesome, Rebecca. Thank you. And Jess of Ipswich. Had a toddler get stuck?
Yeah, I've got one-year-old twins, and they managed to crawl behind the couch and get stuck between the couch and the entertainment unit.
Both of them.
Yeah, both of them.
Side by side?
No, they tried crawling over the top of each other to get out.
Oh.
And then unsuccessfully.
Every man for himself.
Oh, so yeah. They're sort of stacked up like those cars that you see in those, you know, those car parks.
But imagine,
what do you do? Just move the lounge, I guess.
No, I grabbed my phone.
Oh, that's excellent.
Fair call. You need documented evidence of that when they turn 21.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
I know the sporting spotlight will be on the Honduras versus the Socceroos game tomorrow night. Yeah. But listen, the Wallabies are running around the world at the moment. They're overseas. They're in the middle of a winning streak, which is they haven't lost in 8 games now.
That's
but I
want
to talk. Well, I know it is good. After the terrible year they did have, they've turned it around. But no Israel Folau over there, and the best player over on tour, they're over in the UK, has been Kirtley Beale. On the weekend, he scored an individual try, which was unreal. Did the same thing the week before in incredible form. Can I show you this photo? Because despite what he did on the field, what he did afterwards in the dressing room has taken even a greater chunk of fame. There he is there. He's with, who's that bloke?
Prince William.
Prince William, Kirtley Beale in a pair of...
Budgie Smugglers.
Budgie Smugglers and their Aboriginal design, the same as when he helped design the Wallaby jersey with the Aboriginal motives there. You know, so he's got those Dick stickers on. Standing next to Prince William with a beer in his hand. He's got his Aboriginal tattoo on to display. Bold as you like. And they said... And
confident, loving it.
And he wrote, when you rock up, because Prince William, of course, has a full suit on, yes. When you rock up to the party feeling a little bit overdressed, he wrote on his Instagram attack. Yeah,
now, let's not forget that I've seen Kirtley Beale in that attire many times.
Yeah.
because he either staying with or living with James O'Connor at a place in Melbourne, and I lived at a house, Robin, that was attached to their house.
Oh, wow.
Had a spa on the roof.
They did. And on more than one occasion, I saw young Kirtley wandering either up or down the street in just the Budgie Smugglers.
They were in his immature days, though.
This is not news to me. It's just interesting that he's now got it to the point where he can do it in front of a prince. That, to me, shows personal growth.
Listen to this one. Royal protocol stipulates that photos taken with Prince William in such situations have to be given a tick of approval before being made public.
So he was okay. Prince William was okay.
Either that or he just did it.
Budgies. I've had my photo taken with Prince William. I didn't ask permission. It was when he was
Prince
here.
With Prince William?
Yeah, with Prince William. I did a quick interview too with him, which was not allowed. It was when he was here after the 2011 floods. Remember, he came out and there was a big...
Was he a member of the Mud Army
He was congratulating the Mud Army.
Oh, wanker.
And so there were a whole pile of people that came out and he was saying, well done. And he came off stage. He went up on stage with Melissa Downs and I waited in the wings really quietly. Yeah. And then he came down and I turned my phone on to record and surreptitiously just sort of said, hey, how you going?
And are there minders hanging around when you're trying to do that?
And then I asked for a photo, and because the minders were a bit confused about the fact that I was recording or not recording, they okayed the photo to stop me to get rid of me.
But did they have to look at the photo? Did they go, look, show us a photo and then we approve or just prove taking the photo?
No, they just approved. Clearly it was okay.
And what type of swimsuit were you in?
I was not, thank the Lord. I'm actually just trying to find the photo back in my phone because, I'm looking a bit like, oh my God. Here he is. And he was lovely. He smelled great.
Yeah,
did he? Good question, Ed Cavalier, because I am a really big tickler thing for smelly blokes.
It was Brisbane Brisbane in February. He still smelled all right.
He smelled great.
Wearing a suit. What scent was he running?
I didn't recognise.
Like a coconutty sort of smell?
No.
Rhodesian sandalwood?
No. It was before he was married, too.
Lynx Africa then.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian Government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Hey, out of the three of us, I reckon I'd be the... I'd get the bronze for shopping.
Would that be about right?
All right. I saw Amazon story on last night. I just want to run you by this. So they're going, Amazon's coming, and I keep hearing it. I don't know what exactly Amazon is apart from a big shop, but apparently it's online. But the Australian Retailers Association, okay, I thought they'd squash everyone else. He got on and said this.
We've never believed that Amazon will decimate retail. We've always believed that Amazon is here to assist the retailers of Australia to grow and develop their business both locally and internationally.
Oh. Tell him he's dreaming.
Well, I thought maybe he'd be worried for his people, but he seems to think it'll help.
With the imminent arrival of Amazon sort of permanently in Australia, Claire from the newsroom joins us. Hi, Claire.
Good morning.
Now, Claire, the first thing we have to say is that there's sort of two parts to this, isn't there? There's Amazon retail and there's Amazon marketplace,
exactly,
correct?
So they're setting up basically two arms of this business. So the overarching Amazon brand will have the retail section, which is where Amazon takes control of the whole purchase woe to go. So they organise things like shipping. They organise exactly what you pay for shipping, how quickly it comes to your door and those sorts of things. There's also going to be Amazon Marketplace, which is a little bit more like eBay, where shops or retailers can kind of opt in to use Amazon as the platform to sell their stuff, but they ultimately take care of shipping and organising getting it to you.
And that's what they're saying is going to be good for smaller
businesses, isn't it? So if I've got a business in, say, you know, in Brisbane, and someone wants to buy something I have in Perth, then I can, I'm able to do that through Amazon.
That's exactly, and it'll cost about $50 a month for retailers to do it. So they say that that's quite a low fee to pay. Okay. You will, though, also have to give Amazon about 6 to 15% of your sale price as well. So Amazon's ultimately going to make money off this marketplace business. Oh,
what do they sell? If I want to buy a watermelon, a pair of shoes, and a tennis racket, can I get all of that through Amazon?
At this stage, we don't know exactly which retailers are going to be on there. So there's all these rumours. There will be apparently hundreds of thousands eventually on there when it launches. But at this stage, we are told that it's going to be everything from even including alcohol. Some of the analysts are predicting that alcohol will be available. How that will be enforced, how it will be policed, how things like ID checks and the freshness of food is checked and those sorts of things. That's what's upsetting some of the industry. So we're waiting to kind of get those details. But they're going to be out pretty soon because it's around the corner. It's coming up.
And they are saying by Christmas. The thing I find interesting about Amazon, and as it comes down to who you are habitually as a shopper.
Yeah.
So, Marto, do you like shopping online and would you be happy buy?
No.
Right. Okay. There we go. Ed, you're an online shopper, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't bother me. Like, I think if you can get things delivered, then you don't have to go out to the
shops.
What's
a fulfillment centre?
No, that's fine. That's a warehouse, mate. That's what we used to call a warehouse.
Oh, right.
Things in boxes.
They've got a lot of fulfillment centres in every country on the earth.
Yeah.
They got warehouses like everyone else.
Yes, but you don't get to do the touchy-feely shopping experience.
Okay.
And that is the difference. And that's why I get that retailers are saying, yes, this is a good thing for online shopping, but basically our shopping centres are going to survive if people want to walk in and try stuff
that's
on.
That's true.
People still want to go to the shopping centres, especially in Brisbane. Half of it's for the aircon, isn't it? Is that not true?
Some people don't. Like, Brendo, do you shop online much? What would be your percentages?
Oh, yeah. I live at the airport, DFR.
DFR.
Okay.
Love it.
Righto. But Ed, how much are you an online shopper versus reality?
I'm a real shopping centre guy, so I like going to the places as well. And I'm not mad for online shopping. The other thing to know about Amazon is their other big announcement is that they've got the rights to do a Lord of the Rings TV show.
Wow.
So they also make.
I'm waiting for the gag. Are you serious?
No, mate. So if those movies weren't long enough, Amazon is now got enough to do, I think it's 150 episodes or something, of the Lord of the Rings. So now you can sit at home watching your Amazon television show while your Amazon food is being prepared for you and your Amazon wife arrives in the mail because you haven't had time to go out and meet anybody.
Hey, listen, can I kick this off? A mate of mine sent a photo last night, Shell Crest Mead, $1.48.9. From there, he and I had this text conversation, went for a while, and he started talking about it. In the GFC, what year was that, Ed?
89, my friend.
2009. All right. The price of fuel, the price of oil per barrel was at $112 a barrel. Okay.
Right.
It is now, and the price of fuel at the Bowser was $1.55, $1.60 at times. We went, oh, the world's going to end. Now the price of oil is $54 a barrel, less than half. The price of fuel is $1.48 as we sit here this morning.
That's disgraceful. We're getting, where's the money going?
That's right. Why don't Coles and Woolworths stick to ripping us off with groceries or alcohol as they've been doing in the last few years, and now they're going to rip us off with insurance, of course. Stick to that and leave our petrol alone. Everyone whinges about electricity prices. Fuel prices are a huger part of everyone's life than that. If there's a politician wants to stop and lower fuel prices by 30 cents a litre, bang, which these people are all making, he will get it or she will get into power. Anyway, I hate you.
Let's go around the grounds.
Companies.
Well, let's go around the grounds. Pete from Forest Lake. Pete, give us the update, mate. Forest Lake, how are we going?
Yeah, so I come through Progress Road. It's $1.19 at the 7-Eleven Progress Road. Right across the road at Caltex, $1.49.9.
Whoa.
This is directly across, isn't it, Pete? Almost directly across the road.
Listen to this one.
Straight across the road. So don't go to Caltex.
Hey, Pete, I'll give you another one. At Lutwyche, same situation. Adam sent me a text. The Lutwyche Cemetery there, the BP on one side of the road, on the eastern side, $1.47.9. The Coles on the western side of the Gympie Road, $1.23.9. Mm. Let's be aware of these. We have 24 cents a litre. You put 50 litres in, there's $10.
Okay, but here's my thing. How come in 7-Eleven in the Gap it's $1.50 and 7-Eleven on Progress Road is $1.19?
Because it's the 7-Eleven in the Gap. They are their own ecosystem. That is one of the great mysteries how they do their pricing.
7-Eleven at Ascot, well, they wouldn't have one, but it would be $3 a litre and no one would blink an eye.
Kylie of Bracken Ridge, what have you seen?
Puma on Gympie Road there at Kedron, $1.15.
Yeah, ooh, $1.15.
That one at Kedron always
can't
gets...
beat that.
Is there a queue?
No, it's a Puma.
Okay.
That's a Puma, yes.
Yeah.
And that's just down the road from that BP I said was $1.47. So who's pulling into that BP when the Puma's so close?
I know.
And finally, we've got RJ from Crestmead. Now, RJ, is it 7-Eleven?
Yeah, 7-Eleven Puma up on the top of Linton Road, Murray. They're $1.19.1 for normal unleaded and $1.11 for E10.
Yeah, I'm still dodgy on E10, but that's only me.
I use E10. Am I killing my car? What's going on there?
You got a modern car, though. You
got a modern car?
Yeah, what do you mean by modern? All right.
What do you mean by modern? You think a Morris Minor is modern.
Yeah. Anything less than 8 years old is modern to me.
Bernie of Fernvale, what you got?
7-Eleven at Downs Street, North Ipswich is $1.20 for unleaded. Directly across the other side of the road is Coles at $1.45.9.
Holy moly. $1.45. Now, Bernie, has it been that way for a couple of days or have they just jacked it up?
Oh, it's just they vary because normally I don't come that way to work, but I just thought I'd do it this morning just to see what the fuel is.
Yeah.
They are different. Sometimes they're the same.
That's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're different. There's no rhyme or reason. Thank you, Bernie. Appreciate that.
Sharon of Cinnamon Park.
Hey, Sharon, do you reckon this is a bigger part of your life than electricity? Fuel?
Well, yeah, when we're running three cars.
Exactly. I hear you.
Righto, what do you got?
Puma on Sherwood Road, $1.15 for E10, $1.19 for unleaded.
Righto.
Two doors up is an independent garage, and it's $1.35 for E10. And I've just come past 7-Eleven on Fairfield Road at Yerong Pilly, and it's $1.21 for unleaded.
All right.
Okay.
Stay out of the servos that are over $1.30.
Thank you, Sharon.
You can get $1.20 fuel real easy. Who else we got? Sorry, Rob.
Ben of Robina. What have you seen?
Well, at Robina 7-Eleven on Cottesloe Drive there, that was $1.43. That was at about 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Took the Tarragindi Holland Park exit and went past the Shell there on the corner.
Yeah.
And that was $1.33.
Yes.
That was 10 cents cheaper. And come around the corner over the bloody hill into Nathan, and 7-Eleven's $1.49.3. Bloody ridiculous.
It gives you no faith, does it?
Oh, mate, I'm going to try and convert me old ute to run on bloody old fats and oils. I'm sick of it.
Oh, hey, now you send us a photo.
Now you're talking, Ben. Yes, one of those.
Well, why not? Hey, Ben, you're driving up from the coast of Brisbane most days, are you?
Yeah, nearly every day, mate. Yep.
Righto, what's fuel worth to you? Is it 140 a week, 150?
Yeah, close to 200, mate, to tell the honest truth.
200. Yeah. So if you buy it at the right place, you're saving yourself $30 a week if you get it for a cheaper price.
Mate, I'm getting half a slab if I can get it for a cheaper price. Righto. I'm stoked.
And that is a motivation right there.
Oh, yeah.
Marto and Robin.
Where you get the fat from.
Brisbane's Triple M.